everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. Get ready for some lively discussion.
It's time.
It's Dora. Let's talk with Dora.
Let's talk about it.
It's Dora.
Come on, y'all, let's talk about it.
Let's talk with Dora.
Oh, guys, do I have a show for you tonight? This guy has relocated so many critters in Florida that I'm sure they consider him their own personal real estate agent. Please help me welcome the wildlife whisperer, Ned Bruja. Ned, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Dora. It's a true honor.
Oh my gosh. I can't. Okay. The first thing we got to know, everybody wants to know, do iguanas really fall from the sky in Florida?
Iguanas truly do fall from the sky, but they're also blamed for a ton of things that they just don't do. So falling from the sky is definitely one thing they do.
Why do they do that? What happens? For people that don't know, I've lived in Florida, so I know, but tell the secret why they fall.
So they're not accustomed to the cold weather. Their body can't handle it. So their migration up north is going to be somewhat limited. When it gets to a certain temperature, their body just slows down to the point where they're barely there. And then they're barely on the branch they're on. And then they're on the ground.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Once the Mother Nature puts that sun on their back or their belly or however they fell, once they're exposed to warmth, they just wake up and shake it off and travel onward.
That's wild. Now you have to get rid of, relocate a lot of iguanas. That's a big problem for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's also part of the reason I came down here. 25 plus years in business. We had been vacationing in Cozumel repeatedly and made the plan. We're going to move down to Florida as far south as we can and still be American citizens. And it was when I found out that I was moving by myself, because that move wasn't as desirable to my bride of 23 years, I came by myself, and it was either going to be Boquilla, the island that I'm on here, Pine Island, or Puerto Rico. And hindsight's 2020. I love my island.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful there, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is similar to old Florida. We are mostly agricultural. We don't have beautiful sandy beaches, and we have no problem with that.
That's right. We have a lot of beaches in Sarasota. There's a beach everywhere, like on every corner, I think, as they say.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this. What got you started in relocating animals? And you don't poison, trap, or euthanize, right? You believe in rehoming, relocating?
So it's a common misconception. To really drive it home, I don't trap, I don't relocate, I don't kill, and I don't poison. All animal families are kept together as a family unit in their existing ecosystem. So what I do, there are very few of us in the United States and Canada. Canada has a benefit, though, is that their laws mandate that the work that I do, wildlife management, is done in a truly humane manner. Now, relocation and relocation research has repeatedly proven that when you take an animal from point A to point B and dump them in that strange territory, they're going to get pushed out, shoved out, starved out, and die within 2 weeks. So relocation and translocation truly does kill. So the best tool in my toolbox is that animal that I just told, you're not going to live in this person's attic anymore. And you are going to take those babies in your mouth and relocate them on your own accord. So I basically manipulate females for a living.
Ah, I love it.
I make them want to take their babies in their mouth one by one and carry them out. And being able to capture that on camera, which I just started about 4 years ago, I bought myself some Ring cameras for Christmas after a show went one coverage of a raccoon lady I called Priscilla, as in Priscilla has left the building instead of Elvis. That client was using Ring cameras and caught something really cool on film, and it got picked up by Associated Press, and I doubled down not only with the cameras but the alarm, and it changed my business and my ability to assist my clients a lot easier.
Oh yeah, your videos on Facebook are so much fun. I follow you all the time.
The videos aren't a fraction of the fun that I have on a regular basis. What red-blooded American boy wouldn't want to do this?
Yeah.
So I believe your question was, what got me into it?
Yeah, what started this American boy doing that?
So I grew up in a remodeled one-room schoolhouse in Hebron, Wisconsin. It was technically Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, seven miles out of town in the country. I was surrounded by fields, and my backyard was a cemetery, an old cemetery. My folks remodeled an old one-room schoolhouse and turned it into my childhood home. That backyard, we had chipmunks going and burrowing into the grave sites. The last person buried there was in approximately 73. It's an older cemetery. So my father, being a veteran, he says, Ned, those chipmunks are desecrating those veterans' graves that you put flags out on every Memorial Day. You need to take care of that. He gave me live traps. And at Christmas, I had already received a Crossman, the standard issue for any country boy, the standard issue 10 pump Crossman pellet and BB. And I went to town. And a month later, my father says, you're not doing your job. They're still desecrating the graves. So what do I do? I mean, there's so many of them, they breed like rabbits. He took me up to the chicken coop. And he showed me how he and mom had taken hardware cloth, woven wire, and buried it in an L shape pointing towards the outside, and affixed it to the chicken coop. That made it so that the badgers, coyotes, everybody else, they couldn't go and dig in and gobble up my feathered friends my feathered childhood friends. There's a picture on my website telling the story about Ned's feathered friends in black and white, me hanging out with the chickens, and I was knee high to a grasshopper. So I didn't know that I was going to end up using that information, and that process is called a hardware cloth bury. And I did so many of them that I destroyed my right shoulder. Doing that digging, even with all the employees. So I was digging up a chipmunk and their living room. I wanted to see what their living room looked like. And lo and behold, he popped out and bit me in the forehead right here. And I ended up with ringworm from scratching it and everything as a kid. And I say, I've been after those critters ever since. Also in my backyard were two really, I lived in a tree. I lived in a tree growing up. And there was this really cool pine tree in the back cemetery next to the orchard. where the two pine trees had grown up and they had joining branches. So it made like a ladder between the two pine trees that I could climb up. But I was told never do that because there's great horned owls that nest up there and have their babies every year.
Oh, so of course you had to go. You had to climb up there to see.
And so I had to wait until mom and dad were gone.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get in trouble. And this ADHD Ned was always in trouble and always grounded. And there was no hiding that talon mark that went up and over when I got hammered by mom or dad. My hair was so blonde it was white, and that talon scratch was pretty visible. So owls are my absolute favorite, and for some reason, people consider burrowing owls down here a nuisance animal. So I'm blessed with being able to deal with those tiny little burrowing owls. They're nationwide, but we're lucky enough to have them here in Southwest Florida as well.
Wow. So you, what is the thing, the critter that causes the most problem, that you get called out for the most? What problem do you get called out for the most?
Good question. Spontaneous answer that requires no thought whatsoever. The most dangerous animal I deal with? Humans.
I didn't expect that. I love it.
You know, when somebody calls you and says, I have a skunk in my son's walk-in closet, I shot it with a 44. I understand you do hazmat cleaning. Can you help me? I don't know why he got upset and gave me a bad review when I said, I don't want to get anywhere near you, sir. You shot a 44 at a concrete slab. You're on your own, buddy.
Yeah. Not real smart.
It wasn't smart of me as a business person to tell him that either, but you live and learn.
So, yeah, that's right.
I don't consider any wildlife species more or less challenging other than humans. Humans cause more problems than the animals that I work with.
Yeah. So I was just going to ask you, what do you think humans do the most wrong when they do have something in their house, other than not calling you? That's wrong. Really, they should call you.
Most of the time, it's not the homeowner's fault. It's actually the builder's fault. And not even the builder most of the time, despite the fact that it's their job to do QC, quality control, on their homes. So I make a living off of the nasty Southwest Florida work ethic. And I'm not picking on Southwest Florida because it's everywhere. If I leave one tiny little spot untouched, those animals are going to take advantage of them. And then I'm going to have to come back and take care of it for free. And if it's not under my normal warranty, my integrity makes me go back and take care of it for free, because if it's something I did wrong, I want to learn from a mistake and I'm going to take care of it. But usually that doesn't happen. The mistakes that homeowners themselves make is using basically duct tape and expanding foam. Great stuff. Expanding foam is not great stuff. The problems I deal with buildings is I make a living off of roofers, builders, of course, HVAC guys, soffit and fascia guys, electricians in many circumstances, but they camera installation companies, wiring stuff and leaving holes. It requires fine detail to button a place up. And those trades do what they do. I do what I do. Oh, a roofer company owner in Tulsa during, I think it was the 07 and 09 ice storms in Tulsa, taught me what I did for a living. He There was a bougie house with a $250,000 composition roof that was just put on. And the lady called me in regards to bats flying out of all of the dormers. Mm. And I did my inspection. I submitted my written proposal. And she said, you're saying that the bats are coming out of those places on the roof where the roof and soffit meet and make a triangle. I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, that's $250,000 roof. The roofing company is going to fix that. I said, with all due respect, ma'am, it's not going to happen, but you can call ABC Roofing and speak with them and inquire about it, but that's not what they do for a living. Fast forward, I'm standing there with the president and vice president of ABC Roofing in Tulsa, one of the very few companies that I referred there. I'm that picky. I'm not going to refer you if you're not perfect.
Yeah.
And he looked at those holes and he says, roofers, waterproof homes. If you want it wildlife proofed and nitpicked, that's what Ned does for a living.
There you go.
He takes care of those gaps. So, yeah, I found out that I was a glorified handyman who apparently thinks he can speak with animals.
Well, you tell them where to go, right? You tell them to take their babies and go home, and they listen, I'm sure. Because you're yes, not getting they certainly back do. A lot.
Doesn't matter the species, they listen.
That's right. You went, didn't you go overseas or somewhere to build some kind of like osprey nest or something recently?
Yeah, it was really cool. I worked for an undisclosed company that worked for a government entity on Andros Island. And what was happening is ospreys were nesting on this massive radar tower and shutting down communication. They were nesting on top of the air conditioner, which cooled the radar room. So it would overheat and shut communications down. Mm-hmm. So I knew exactly what to do there, but I had to have a crash course in installing several huge solar panels and building a solar system when I'm well over a couple hundred feet up in the air.
Wow.
With the solar panels over the side. When I got done with that, I installed an electromagnetic system there that made it so the ospreys couldn't even land. It doesn't hurt in any way, shape, or form. But that was a really cool, rewarding job. From there, I had talked them into putting up a osprey platform that I had shipped from the mainland here. And we put up that osprey platform so they had a new home. I'm hoping to return and install a lot more because, like any island, they get hammered and they lose their nesting areas. And when you go there, you go there blind because everything's top secret. They couldn't even show me photos.
Wow.
So I went in there partially blind, and I was taking care of vultures on top of a building. They were congregating it by the dozens and hundreds. And I utilized the same type of stuff. After I got done with the ospreys and giving them a new spot to live after I kicked them out of the really cool bougie location with the air conditioning built in, I had to work on a building that was covered with dozens and sometimes hundreds of vultures.
Oh my
congregating
God.
On the roof. And this roof was the hazmat waste holding facility before the hazmat waste got shipped off island. And they were concerned that the vulture vomit and feces was more toxic than their alleged hazmat. And my big nose picked up that scent about a quarter mile down the road. They can be pretty stinky.
Pretty bad, huh?
So I installed some deterrents that I had invented with the help of some other companies manufacturing it for me. And we installed that along with another electromagnetic system to make it so they couldn't land on that structure as well. There's a lot more work to do there, but yeah, it doesn't matter if you're in the Bahamas or in a different state, I'm able to assist you.
Yeah, you handle all kinds of critters, don't you? In fact, weren't you the skunk whisperer? Did I hear a rumor you had your own series?
Yes. Sadly, I did have my own series. You would think having your own television series on Animal Cruelty Planet and Discovery would be a good thing, but it was a horrible time in life. They wanted me to trade my integrity for cash and do things that animals that I wouldn't do in privacy, yet alone on international television. So it took me 3 years to get the producers and production companies and shooters out of Oklahoma. I kicked all three production companies out, and eventually, after trying to violate my contract in every way I possibly could, and they still didn't budge, I just quit. I refused to quit filming. I refused to film.
Continue to film.
Yeah. So I was thankfully finally labeled as disgruntled talent, because in the industry, you're just talent. You don't even have a name. Yeah. And I was fine and proud of that, because I was promised an educational show.
Educational. I like that.
And that was one of the names that Animal Cruelty Planet came up with. Instead, we just had educational moments, and they sprinkled tons of drama in there. It was right after Steve Irwin passed.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to do. Are we going to make a bunch of money, or are we going to be TBS with fur? And they chose to do reality TV. I didn't grow up with television. We at times had to ask permission to go in the living room, and television was for educational purposes only and special occasions most of the time. So Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Charlie Brown Christmas, and Mutual of Omaha, Wild America. And yeah, so if you are unfortunate enough to find my TV series, which is still out there and available, please go to the domain name that I have auto-forwarded to that disclaimer that will break down exactly how they went about putting words in my mouth I never said in that context. Go to animalcrueltyplanet.com.
Wow. That, they want to put that drama in there, don't they? They got to manipulate and add and edit until it's not even your show anymore, I'm sure.
I had never seen a reality TV show in my entire life. And then I was sitting in a filthy, dirty, nasty one put on by the same people who took care of Mr. Irwin and his family.
No. It
was disgusting and disappointing.
That's too bad, because you always think that his show was perfect, you know? That's too bad when it happens that way.
Yeah. So I promised myself I would not work for anybody else or shoot with anybody else other than PBS.
Yeah.
Right around COVID, it was a go. They said, bring your sponsors, let's do this. And COVID happened, and something else happened. Being the Gen X cargo short wearing guy I am, I couldn't understand why my younger demographics were disappearing. Come to find out, I was stuck on Facebook, and they're on Instagram, TikTok, and all that happy stuff that I didn't understand. Yeah. I'm still learning it. And I watched somebody ask two children, 15 and 21-year-old, do you know what PBS is? And they said, no. What is that? And that told me that's not my network. So I promised myself that as soon as my van was, my new service van is relettered, that I'll have another one. So that's either going to be this fall or the fall afterwards.
Oh, good. But you are going to do another series.
Absolutely. The world needs that shot in the arm.
We do. I've learned so much just from watching you on Facebook. You know, I never had any idea there were bats in Florida and what a problem they could be. Was there, I don't know if you can talk about this or not. I saw something where someone sold a house that was full of bats and there was a real problem. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So in 2015 in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, I pulled up to a house for a bat complaint and inspection. My big nose knows. And from the curb, getting out of my truck, I was able to smell the guano. Now, mind you, it's not their feces, which is called guano, that smells. It's the urine that smells.
Oh, yeah.
And when everything breaks down and moisture is attached to it in dark, humid places, it becomes something that can hurt or kill you eventually if it's bad enough. I immediately found proof that the previous homeowner, what? You can't make this stuff up. It's horrible. The previous homeowner tried to cover up the fact that he tried to DIY or do it yourself, get rid of the bats and cover it up so he could sell the house. Well, we got the bats out, and fast forward to 2 years ago. This is 2026.
Yeah.
I was there in 2015. Two falls ago, I'm flown up to Tulsa to testify on behalf of that family. My testimony as a subject matter expert and my experience with everything, along with all of the other evidence, that client won a little over $1 million. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but when you have a brick house and all of that brick has to be removed to remove all of the guano, and they have to literally put a bubble around the house.
Wow.
The money and everything that family went through because of the lack of integrity of that previous homeowner was horrific, nasty. So they win the case, and you think it's over and it's all rainbows and unicorns, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Nope.
Because last year, they found out through a plumber who was at the previous owner's house, he was trying to find somebody to kill the entire family. He was trying to hire a hitman to kill the entire family. So it's impossible to make this stuff up.
Yeah.
So, just take your bad integrity and you're lost and tuck tail and pay up and go away. No, he wanted to double down on it.
Wow. Well, I think I'd be a little upset. I had bats I had an old antique round barn in Ohio on my property.
Oh, beautiful.
And I went in one day. I hadn't been in there in a long time. And, oh, my God, the whole top was, the roof of it was covered with bats. So somebody told me, turn a radio on real loud in there. Well, Ned, I don't know, you're the expert, but I swear they were dancing to the music the next time I went in. They were loving it, and I think there were more bats. So that's not effective, huh? How do you get rid of bats?
The way you get rid of bats is pretend your house is a box, and that box has 100 holes. You have to seal up 99 of those holes that they're not using and make it so that once they fly out, they can't get back in. But it has to be done outside of maternity season. Mm. Because you have their babies, which are called pups, and those pups can't fly yet. So you make it so that mom flies out and can't get back in.
Oh.
You're going to be calling from a hotel because it's going to smell like Hades. Now, the male bats, they have to stay outside. It's just the mother. The bachelors are forced to sit outside the maternity room, as I like to jokingly call it, with their cigars and brandy, and just wait to be able to finally meet their boys and girls.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's one species I adore working with most. It's bats. I would probably say raccoons, because whose heart can't melt?
I know.
Hearing those baby raccoon chatters. Their babies are called.
Mask on them. They're so cute, but they're mean. They can be very vicious.
They can, but you just talk to them correctly and you don't give them lip and you know how to whisper to them correctly, and they just look at you cross and they move along with their babies.
There is a lot to be said for the tone and the way you talk to them. There really is. I lived on a farm several years ago, and the guy had 5 dogs, and they would jump all over me and everything. And so the first day there, I said, oh, no, this is not going to work. I got to have a talk with him. And he was like, good luck with that, right? So about 3 days later, nobody jumping on me. One starts to, and I went, remember our talk?
Dogs?
Yes.
And with food animals, pets in general, you have to be the alpha to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My little
kitty. They will take a mile.
I have to tell my cat all the time who's boss that, listen, I love you, but boop, a little boop on the nose once in a while.
Did you say cat or cattle?
My cat.
Oh, okay.
They don't allow you to keep cattle in your room in Ohio. I don't know if they allow that in Florida, Ned.
I've had plenty of cattle boops and cat boops.
Yeah.
For the ones that aren't intimidated by my profile and my beat.
You're funny. You don't have a
looks
big
look, I nice funny dog. Looks aren't everything.
Right. Thank God, huh? Another thing I wanted to ask you, let's go back to the ospreys. Did they have a problem there or somewhere with the ospreys, like making nest on top of the traffic lights and dropping fish and pooping stuff on people? Did you have to deal with something like that?
Several places, absolutely. Several places, but I think maybe one of the two cool ones that you're thinking of was in the village of Lakewood Ranch here in Florida here.
Yeah.
And I'm still hoping to get a better photo than what the city manager acquired for me. They were so creative. They made their nest right over in a four-way intersection, 3 or 4, I forget, ADHD.
Yeah.
They made it on the traffic light arm, and they'd have sticks and fish parts and stuff falling on vehicles and into the road. I mean, what a hoot. And they saw that nest got occupied so quickly. They said, let's do some more. And I said, cool, let's set some up with traffic cameras too and put a camera on them. And they're like, oh, yes, what's the biggest pole you can do? I said, 65-foot work?
Wow.
Can you do bigger? I said, I can do anything. So, yeah, we're excited about that. And there was one parking lot in Fort Myers. And I knew about this parking lot and the nuisance delinquent nest for years, but I don't like cold calling. I'm not, I don't want to feel like a salesperson.
Yeah.
And I know because it's a nuisance osprey problem, they're going to call me anyway because who else is...
They're going to run out of things to do. They're going to have to call you.
Yeah, and there's nobody else that specializes in the weird stuff that really turned me on. So I was able to make it so you can't even see anything was done, but the birds won't even land on any of the lighting out there anymore.
Wow.
So stuff like that is really rewarding. They had fish and body parts flopping down on all of the cars in this big bougie shopping center, and it's just not cool for business.
Ospreys are huge. They can carry big fish too. I've had them drop them in front of my house in Florida. You walk outside and go, where'd the fish come from? But what do they weigh? About what size are they?
The fish or the osprey?
The fish, that's another tale, right?
it really varies depending on their age, male, female. And the best way to, the only way really, really to tell if it's a male or a female is their necklace. So their necklace is going to be, and it's not always developed right away. It looks like little brown specks of a necklace on their on the top of their breast, they're below their neck there.
Interesting. And then that helps as they get older, that gets darker or more prominent?
Yeah, as they get older, that gets darker. Yeah. And they take turns on the nest, but I mean, usually it's the male who's in charge of building. That helps him attract a mate. And even if he shoots blanks for several years because he's a juvenile, excuse my expression.
It's all right. No, you're good.
If he's good enough and he takes care of her good enough, he might be able to maintain that lady. Oh. So it's really cool is ospreys, they won't bring the head to the nest. They always want to go and remove that head before they bring him to the nest. And they try to also have the fish with their heads going first, so it's more aerodynamic and they don't have it going down the road like this.
Yeah. Wow. Very smart, aren't they?
Incredibly intelligent animals.
Yeah.
There are some animals that just aren't as intelligent as ospreys.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, and I always get Hades about this, is possum mothers can't count, whereas a skunk or a squirrel, and definitely a raccoon, you take one of those babies, she's going to rip that house apart looking for that one because they can count.
Oh, the wow. The biggest
reason that baby possums called Joeys end up in wildlife rehab clinics nationwide so often is they fall off their back and mother just keeps on trucking. She doesn't notice that stuff. Whereas if that's any other species like those that I mentioned, it's on like Donkey Kong. She's going to do whatever it takes to get them back.
Interesting. Huh. I never knew that. So who sits on the eggs and how long does it take for them to hatch? I'm just curious. The male, because I know male penguins sit on the eggs, right?
I would actually need to go to my website to look that up.
Oh, I asked you a question you didn't know. I love it. I got you.
I know it, but I just had my webmaster start working on my new Osprey pages because I'm so passionate about it. We're not quite done yet, but all of that stuff, I got done writing it, and they're in the process of putting those pages up. It's the first pages I've worked on in, I'd say, maybe 5 years or so. But new webmaster trying to help me out, and we're trying to get all that information up there so that the process of erecting a platform or erecting a pole with a platform or take care of the nuisance osprey on your boats, your docks. So try to reduce me explaining things 20 times and going hoarse on the phone.
Yeah. How do you get up that high? Do you use, do you have some kind of like a lift or what do they call that, that they use to do buildings?
So yes, I spend a considerable amount of time on self-articulating four-wheel drive boom lifts. Just call it a boom lift. They make them that are towable, and they make these self-propelled ones as well. I adore heights. So being able to work on a 86-foot one for a full week, that's just heaven to me. I mean, I got up in the trees as a child to the point where I was swaying back and forth. So being able to do it as an adult is even cooler because I get to play with really cool toys to accomplish it.
Oh, that's great. Hey, you want to go skydiving with me, Ned?
Oh, God, that would be so awesome. I'll trade off. Why does a person bring enough rappelling gear to Florida, which is flat as Illinois pancakes? So you can teach 12 people how to jump off of things. The only thing we can legally jump off of here are, that's illegal, off of buildings and bridges. So I'll go skydiving with you if you want to jump off of a bridge or a building.
No, but I'll go up in an osprey nest with you.
Okay.
That deal? Yeah.
So the osprey, when the person doesn't, the property owner doesn't have anything to put the pole on, and I can't kill a tree on their property to do it, and it does have to be dead, because just like a sliver in your hand, it's eventually, your body's going to reject it. And it's the same with all of the stuff I need to go and put into that dead tree or that pylon, telephone pole. The platform isn't going to last. It's just going to spit it out. So when I can't do that, then I have a guy on island here who has been moving around big trees since he was a kid. He had really cool Lincoln logs compared to me. Big, huge palm trees with all the specialty tools. And so I found him, and he says, I'm the only person I plant dead trees for. So he takes those telephone poles, lifts them up for me. I install the platform. We dig the hole that he built a special auger for that'll go down as deep as what we need. And we erect those poles with the platforms, with or without cameras on already. It's so rewarding, because whether I'm doing it with a boom lift or with his mini excavator, by the time I leave that property, or we leave that property, sometimes there's already an osprey up there. That's just, I mean, knowing that you made that difference that quickly in their lives, that's just an awesome feeling.
Yeah, you gave them a home to go to.
Yep.
Do they stay there year round, or do they migrate?
Good question. Many of them are going to stay here. They're year-long residents. Those tend to be the juveniles, whereas the others go and migrate, and they sit there and they wait for their mate to come back. So whoever gets there first is going to be working on tidying up the home, making the nest a little bit nicer, and he's going to be waiting for Mrs. and hopefully nothing happened to her along the way. Aww. Sometimes, though, when gets back, their juvenile, one of their juveniles from the year prior is almost always going to go and try to stake that as their own. And they have a rude awakening, because they get booted out of the nest, and they're stuck having to be on their own and build their own. Wow. So it's kind of cool where some of them just don't want to leave and learn to fly when they're just little chicks. And because who wouldn't want somebody to just bring them fish and chips all day, every day?
like being an adult and staying at home with your parents, you know, and no rent, no cooking, no nothing. Who wouldn't want to do that? I'd go with my parents again.
they've got to leave the nest sometime, even if it's a year later.
I think humans should do like birds, just kick them out at a certain age. I think some of us do.
Not only that, I believe in conscription. We should all go into the military mandatory for at least so long. I mean, China has that right.
Yeah. I believe
so
that.
We need to learn how to build their nest right away.
Yeah, I believe that too. Well, Ned, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have you back on so we can talk about some more things, some more animals, and see your next adventure, what you're doing.
Thank you.
Now I have homework for you. Go find out who sits on the eggs and how long it takes them to hatch.
Okay. I'll go to my website as soon as we get off of here.
Hey, I want to see something on Facebook about it. I'll be looking. Thank you so much. And God bless you, Ned, for what you're doing. It's definitely necessary.
And Thank you, Dora. I'll
be in Florida soon, like in a couple weeks. So you want to do that Sky Diamond thing?
Let's take a look at that.
Let's do some boating or something if we get together.
I'm gonna take out that rappelling gear.
There you go. I've done some rappelling in the past, but it wasn't in Florida. It was in the mountains of Kentucky and Tennessee. There you can repel, as we call it.
At least there's some topography there. I don't know what I was thinking.
All right. God bless you, sir. And thank you so much for being with us tonight. What a fun time this was. You're a delight. Thank you.
You have.
Let's talk.